Chapter 28. The new Velvet Room looked nothing like the old Velvet Room. "A health club?" I asked Murphy. "You've got to be kidding me." Murphy goosed her Harley right up next to the Beetle. There had been only one parking space open, but there was room for both of our rides in it, more or less. It wasn't like I was worried about collecting a few more dents and dings in addition to the dozens already there. "It's progressive," Murphy said. "You can get in shape, generate testosterone, and find an outlet for it all under one roof." I shook my head. A modest sign on the second floor, over a row of smaller shops, proclaimed, "Executive Priority Health." It lacked the wide-open, well-lit windows of most health clubs, and apparently occupied the whole of the second floor. "Wait a minute," I said. "Isn't that the hotel where Tommy Tom got murdered?" "Mm-hmm," Murphy said, nodding. "The Madison. A corporation that has absolutely no visible connection to John Marcone recently bought it and is renovating it." "You have to admit it was a little overdone," I said.
"It looked like the set of a burlesque show about an opium lord's harem," Murphy said.
"And now it is one," I said.
"But it won't look like it," Murphy said.
"They call that progress," I said. "Think this bunch will give us any trouble?"
"They'll be polite.
Marcone is the kind of guy who apologizes for the necessity just before his minions put a bullet in you." Murphy nodded. She'd rearranged her gun rig and put on a Kevlar vest before we left. The baggy man's shirt was now buttoned up over it.
"Like I said, polite."
"Seriously," I said. "Think anything will start up?"
"Depends how big a beehive we're about to kick," she replied.
I blew out a breath. "Right, let's find out." We went inside. The doors opened onto a foyer, which was closed away from what had been the hotel's lobby by a security door and a panel of buzzers. The buzzers on the lowest row were labeled with the names of the shops on the first floor. None of the others were marked. Murphy flipped open her notepad, checked a page, and then punched a button in the middle of the top row. She held it down for a moment, then released it.
"Executive priority," said a young woman's voice through a speaker beside the panel. "This is Bonnie. How may I help you?"
"I'd like to speak with your manager, please," Murphy said.
"I'm very sorry, ma'am," came the reply. "The management is only in the office during normal business hours, but I would be happy to leave a message for you."
"No," Murphy replied calmly. "I know that Ms. Demeter is in. I will speak to her, please."
"I'm very sorry, ma'am," came Bonnie's rather prim reply, "but you are not a member of the club, and you are on private property. I must ask you to leave immediately, or I will inform building security of the problem and call the authorities."
"Well, that should be fun," I said. "Go ahead and call the cops."
Murphy snorted. "I'm sure they'd love to have an excuse to come stomping around." Bonnie said, floundering. Clearly she hadn't been trained to deal with this kind of response, or maybe she just wasn't all that bright to begin with. I made a kind of "do you mind" gesture at Murphy. She shook her head and leaned to one side so I could get closer to the intercom.
"Look, Bonnie," I said, "we aren't here for trouble. We just need to talk to your boss. If she likes, she can come talk over the intercom. Otherwise, I will come up there and talk to her in person. There's only one relevant issue here. Would you rather be reasonable and polite, or would you rather replace a bunch of doors, walls, and goons?" Just go tell your boss, Bonnie. It's not your fault that we didn't fall for the business hours only line. Let her decide what to do so you don't get in any trouble." After a slight pause, Bonnie realized the professional value in passing the buck.
"Very well, sir. May I ask who this is?"
"I'm with Sergeant Karen Murphy, Chicago PD," I said. "My name is Harry Dresden."
"Oh," Bonnie said. "Oh, Mr. Dresden, please excuse me. I didn't know it was you, sir."
I blinked at the intercom.
"You're the last of our Platinum Club members to pay a visit, sir. By all means, sir, please accept my apologies. I'll have someone meet you and your guest at the elevator with your membership packet. I'll notify Ms. Demeter at once."
The door buzzed, clicked, and opened. Murphy gave me a steady look.
"What's that all about?"
"Don't ask me," I told her. "I'm gay now." We went in. The first floor of the building looked like a miniature shopping mall, its walls completely lined with small shops that sold computer parts, books, video games, candles, bath stuff, jewelry, and clothes in a number of styles. All the shops were closed, their steel curtains drawn down. A row of small lights on either side of a strip of red carpet came to life, illuminating the way to the main bank of elevators. One of the elevators stood open and waiting. We got in, and I hit the button for the second floor. It began moving at once.
If there's a welcoming committee from the Lollipop Guild waiting for us when these doors open, I'm leaving. This is surreal.
I noticed that too, Murphy said.
Ms. Demeter, I said. Think it's a pseudonym?
One corner of Murphy's mouth quirked up.
I think we'll find all kinds of non-genuine modifications around here.
The elevator stopped and the door opened. Three women were waiting outside of it. They were all dressed in, well, workout clothes wasn't quite accurate. Their outfits looked something like the ones the waitresses at Hooters wear, only tight. None of them could have been much over drinking age, and all of them had clearly passed some kind of intense qualification process, certifying them to wear outfits like that. They were pretty, too. A blonde, a brunette, and a redhead, and they had nice smiles.
Welcome, sir, the redhead said. May I take your coat and stick?
That's the closest I've come to being propositioned in years, I sighed. But no, I'll hang on to them for now.
Very good, sir,